A long time ago, the cross of Christ divided two thieves. One thief repented, confessed Jesus as Lord, and entered into paradise with Christ. The other man mocked Christ, rejecting his offer of redemption, and likely died in sin. The cross of Christ continues to divide humanity. Our attitude towards God is determined by which side of the cross we find ourselves. Now, in Western society, we really like our categories. If something isn't divided into categories or groups, we feel a compulsion to do so until it has a label and fits neatly into a box. Pineapple on pizza, crunchy or smooth peanut butter. There are coffee drinkers and tea drinkers, and even among the coffee drinkers, categories rage on. Sugar or cream, white or cane sugar, flavored creams, and those who simply prefer it black. We have morning people and we have night owls. We have different music and we vacation in different places, mountains versus beaches. And the most divisive group of all, the correct method of installing the toilet paper roll, of which there is only one correct answer. If there is a way for us to divide, human beings will find it. And once we get into our little groups, what do we do? Well, let's just say the conversation rarely revolves around our similarities with the other groups. But Paul's letter cuts through all that noise and tells us there are only two sides to the matter. One group thinks the word of the cross is foolish, and the other does not. Now, unfortunately, humans cannot accept this rather simple wisdom and try to create all sorts of subcategories based on arbitrary reference points. But Paul wants us to focus on the cross because it has a polarizing effect. And when we read the rest of what Paul says, we learn that the cross was chosen intentionally. God had something he wanted to accomplish, and the cross was the only way to do it. So what was God's grand purpose? Well, Scripture tells us he wants to destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. This verse reveals that man's greatest stumbling block in turning our hearts towards God is pride. Pride is a huge issue. And the foolishness of the cross will weed out those too proud to listen. The idea that God of all creation would become man, born into poverty, despised by his own people, and ultimately nailed to a cross, seems absurd. And this is why God specifically chose the wisest and most powerful of the ancient world to persecute Jesus. The ones who pursued righteousness and eternal life through their worldly accomplishments and through their own wisdom. But through the cross, God showed us that human wisdom is flawed. We can't reliably discern right from wrong, and consequently, we justify the evil we do rather than discipline ourselves from doing it. And so to make us understand, God needed to demonstrate this truth by contrasting our failure with his success. And that's the cross, the ultimate contrast. Now, in a testament to my ways are not your ways, God takes something that man intended for evil and turns it into the greatest good of all time. And how did he do that? Well, he let the most wise and righteous among us do it for him. He told us through the prophets of old exactly what would happen, And then we all got to bear witness to those prophecies fulfilled. Jesus didn't do anything deserving of death, but in leaning on the wisdom of the world, they killed him. Jesus even pointed out that their actions were foretold in the First Testament, but their pride blinded them from taking a second look. And in this way, humanity is blind without the Holy Spirit to guide us. But to those willing to wait on God's timing and God's wisdom, we witness both the fullness of humanity's hatred towards God and God's love for humanity in the power of the cross. So why is Paul talking about man's foolishness and God's wisdom? How does that fit into our discussion of labels and division? Well, Paul is laying the groundwork for us. Our comparison of wisdom with each other is comical, perhaps even rude to the Creator. God has just shown us that, in a universal sense, we are foolish. And this discussion reveals that pride is one of the primary factors God uses to distinguish between hearts that are ready to be saved and those which are not. Paul says that God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, that he chose the weak to shame the strong. God isn't looking for the best of the best. He isn't looking for those who have it figured out. Those who are called to Christ are not chosen for their greatness based on human generated sets of reference points. And yet, which one of us does not value or pursue wisdom, financial security, respect of our peers, or the thrill of worldly accomplishment? Which of us does not want enough control over our environment to create a secure future for our children, our families, our churches, and our communities? Now, there is nothing in Paul's letter condemning these goals. These pursuits, when undertaken correctly, are done with the intent of flourishing and bringing life, goals which are blessed in the eyes of God. But these pursuits can only be blessed when the heart of the one pursuing these goals takes on the correct posture. Our motivations will eventually be laid bare. And the power reversals found in understanding the cross become more intellectually accessible than emotionally satisfying. Only when one gets a taste of the wisdom and power of God is one able to let go and let God. The willingness to not be right, to learn new things, to be corrected. The generosity to suspend judgment and the ability to listen carefully with one whom we disagree. The open-minded curiosity to wonder how another came to believe what they do. These are characteristics of releasing one's pride and understanding that it's not about us. The foolishness of the cross and understanding its value and significance turns our hearts to a posture of grateful humility. It reduces all human pretense of control and all boasting in human accomplishment to nothing. And in such a person, there is no compulsion to divide or label, but rather to see the value in all of God's creation. Now, in our current political climate, when churches, families, and nations are impacted over disagreements too numerous to count, we have become disoriented and are sometimes unsure of who to trust. When fatigue has taken over leaders that we used to count on, and we realize there is no going back, only forward, then we need now, perhaps more than ever, to be united, in agreement and in one mind. And I humbly offer that the only unifying force large enough to take all of humanity's urges and compulsions, differences and divisions, hate and trauma, is the one who created it all. So whether silliness, innocence, or divine scheming, the power of the cross exposes the foolishness of human wisdom and reveals our overwhelming need to be united at the foot of the cross. And I pray that as Christians, we will reflect the light of Christ so brightly, it will illuminate the path for others. Amen.